friends. Welcome back into Attacking Third, presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. We've got Lori Lindsay and Jen Beats in the house, and I'm your host, Daria Jenkins. We have a meaty show. We've got a lot of news, very exciting news, as well as the U.S. Women's National Team roster reaction and NWSL, you heard it right, match week 10 preview right before this big break we've got coming for the summer. Whether you're watching here live on YouTube or on Galazzo.net or listening as a podcast, welcome in. We appreciate you so much. Jump in the comments and let us know what's going on. Before we get the show started, you're both in different backgrounds. And Jen, you've got a little kit on. Are you back on the pitch right now?
Guys, I'm mid-session. Let me tell you, I'm here with Soccer Aid over in London, working with UNICEF, raising money for an incredible cause. Charity game is on Sunday. Listen, talk about commitment to CBS. Ran out of mid-training session. First day, guys, I gotta go. I got Attacking Third. Tune in, everyone. Tune in. I will say I was absolutely spent. It's very clear I haven't worked out very much over the past couple of years. But no, still fun getting the boots back on again. Last time was TST, Lori Lindsay.
Yes. Goodness, I'm missing you. I am across the street from Mullet Ranch, and every time I go over there, it's just Leslie and her family. Love them. But yes, I am not mid-session because I'm not playing. I'm an old lady. But I did just work out with Leslie Osborne, and now I'm like, okay, let me get into my...
I watch her workouts online, and I'm like, what is she training for?
No, actually, I think her... Exactly. Look at her Instagram. It's hard. I think the workout that I put us through, because I always do the workouts for us, I think she's like, okay, see ya. And that's like a warm up for her. Like, okay.
What do you think's harder, playing a 90-minute game or a Leslie Osborne workout?
No doubt, Leslie Osborne workout.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Well, it's like a three-parter. You're going morning, noon, and night.
She's a machine. I love it. All right. Well, I should go work out after this. Now I'm feeling feeling a little FOMO. So I'll be in the gym. But let's jump into the news, because Jen, we just covered her in Oslo at the Champions League final with Barcelona. She gets her fourth trophy. Alexia Putellas officially announces she is leaving Barcelona. Now, this is a player who has more trophies for Barcelona than Lionel Messi. She has 38 major trophies, 2 Ballon d'Or, 4 Women's Champions Leagues, and just an incredible force to be reckoned with. You don't think about Champions League or Barcelona without thinking of Alexia Putellas. What did you guys think when you heard the news? Because we weren't really surprised. I mean, Jen, we kind of tried to tease it out of her at the final, but for her to officially announce it this quickly after that match, what did you think?
Yeah, I think seeing her be so emotional leaving the pitch lately kind of obviously showed the signs, and that's why there was so much noise about where she'll go next, or is it coming to an end? And obviously she, you know, held the story in her own right, waited for the right timing to announce it. It's just so hard to imagine Barcelona without Alexia Putellas. She's been there from such a young age. And look, anybody just dreams of those kind of accolades as a player, like 500 appearances for the one club, Ballon d'Or, every trophy, the picture of her in amongst all of her trophies she's ever won was just insane. Deserved every accolade, well and truly etched herself in history of women's football, in Barcelona football, is an absolute legend. It's going to be so weird seeing her in a different shirt, I will say that, because obviously she's no signs of stopping. But I just know she's had the send-off that she well and truly deserves. And can't wait to see where she goes next. She's obviously been linked to a WSL team. But we'll see. I'll definitely be absolutely buzzing if she heads the WSL.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's what's so interesting is you don't see much anymore, like, players staying with one club for as long as Alexia and then some other players, right, that I think we're going to see, Mapi Leon as well, maybe making their departure. So, yeah, I think that's the bittersweet part about it, is like how they have built this Barcelona team that we know of today. But it also, to me, makes sense just with the growth of the women's game and how much more investment and money. And it's part of it, right? We see this on the men's side so much about players moving. And so with the amount of time and the amount of trophies they've won, it just feels like the perfect time and pretty cool to see that that game this past weekend, Barca go out the way they did against Lyon.
Imagine finishing your Barcelona career just winning the Champions League again.
4-0. Yeah, it's incredible.
Some bailout, like, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, this is what, as Hillary Duff says, this is what.
Perfect.
I love that.
I am curious, though, just, you know, Lori, looking at, you mentioned all the trophies she's won. She's literally accomplished everything she possibly could have with Barcelona. How hard is it to leave? And why do you think she left? Do you think it's just because she needed a different challenge? She wants to be a part of something different? Because she literally was part of what built Barcelona as to what we know them as.
Yeah, I feel like it would, it's probably all of those things, right? It's just, again, the maturation of the women's game, new opportunities coming forth, new challenges. I think Barca in itself is changing. So I just feel like it's like one of those things where it felt like, from an outsider, it feels like, okay, this is just the natural progression of a player's career. And it's like, okay, now is the opportunity. I have literally done everything that I can here in Barca. I'm ready to try something different. Also with Spain, they've had success. I mean, obviously losing in the Euros final last year wouldn't have been what they dreamed of, but still, yes, I think this player has achieved so much. And it's like, what's my next challenge? What's a natural progression of who I am as a human and also as a natural state of where I am in my career?
Also, who can get me a bag? And Jen,
That's the best way to say it. I was saying it like, hey, this is the maturation of the women's game, but no, who's going to pay me? Yes, exactly.
Who can afford me? Because look at everything I won. Look at all my trophies. She didn't even know how many trophies she had. Jen, the comments are kind of trolling England a little bit, though, that she's going to hate the weather. But what she's reported to go to London City, which I'm all for. I love that. You know, I've been rocking with London City. They can pull some big players. How do you think she'll fit in? Will she adjust seamlessly to that WSL if she does go there?
Guys, let me tell you, there has been a hell of a heat wave this past week in London. I've been hiding from the sun. So I think she would have been thriving personally in London. Don't get me wrong. It's like, I don't know, she gets like a Newcastle away or a Liverpool away. Yeah, trust me, the further north you get, the weather's not so great. But I think she'll love London. It's hard to comment on when things aren't confirmed. I hate, like, you know, when you're, it's still until it's confirmed, until she knows. But yeah, in the winter, okay, yeah, it gets pretty tough. But what I love about this link that I will say about London City Lionesses is it's such an obviously standalone, independent project in England. Obviously, that's so normal in the NWSL, but that kind of entity just doesn't exist in English football. So when you're talking about what can she do that is different, that screams London City Lionesses. What do London City not struggle with, but takes longer to build, is a fan base. What does she bring? An absolute huge fan base. So it would genuinely be the perfect signing for them. She would walk into any team, let's be honest. Every single club is going to be offering what they can. And I think the ownership of Michelle Kang is a huge pull. I think how competitive the WSL has been becoming lately is incredible. I personally have been down to their training facilities and seen it firsthand. And it's so rare for a WSL team to have standalone facilities and really own it and really feel like you're part of something different. So I definitely do. I absolutely see the pull. She might struggle with the weather in winter, but that's where she just bought back to Barcelona on her jet or something.
On her jet. We'll get acclimated.
The whole weather, yeah.
Well,
I will say I love the seamlessly
acclimated to the WSL, our girl Bunny Shaw. We were all scared. Is she leaving Man City? As Man City is about to enter Champions League. They won the WSL. She's won the Golden Boot 3 times in a row. Player of the season. And she finally announced she's re-signing with City. £1.2 million per season. Incredible. She absolutely deserves that. 117 goals, 28 assists, and 137 appearances for Man City. Lori, how excited are you that she's going to stay with City? And also, we get to see her in Champions League this next year.
Yeah, oh my God, this is, you know, third consecutive Golden Boot, or like, it's just amazing. And I would say too, what she was saying after she announced the signing is, or the extension, is that there's unfinished business and how excited she is to be, is just saying. And I think that sums up that exactly where she wants to be. I mean, I feel like Jen could speak to this a little bit more as well, but it does feel like when we're thinking about a lot of these teams, this is a Man City team that is trying to reach new heights now. There is a different level of commitment, this, and led by Bunny Shaw. So, yeah, I mean, for our sake, just as like a fan taking myself away, I'm like, this is awesome. Let's go. Let's compete and let's continue to push. And they're going to be in Champions League, which is also amazing. So it's, yeah, I'm pumped for her. Deserved too.
I think the biggest thing about Bunny Shaw is she was obviously linked to other clubs, and I feel like she clearly wanted to stay at Man City, whether she had any intentions of actually leaving. But I love the confidence in knowing why she deserved that contract, and having the aura, I think, to make it go down to the actual, down to the wire of the end of the season. I love the way she announced it. I don't know if you guys saw with the rest of the team on stage and just line by line, just like dropping. But I was like, this is amazing. I had complete goosebumps watching it back. The fact that she isn't in the Ballon d'Or conversation yet, up there with the great, she's surpassed everyone the past three seasons. She well and truly deserves to be up there and deserves this 4-year contract. Absolutely.
In arguably the most competitive league as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think there's no other Bunny Shaw. If you look at her physicality and everything, there's no other Bunny Shaw.
Yeah, she's one of those players that is inevitable when she's on the pitch. You just feel that it's just a matter of time until she scores. Do your best, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Her stats truly prove it. It's absolutely insane. But Jen, we've got the Women's FA Cup final on CBS this Sunday. I know that you'll be covering it as well. Brighton versus Man City. And say the Citizens win the FA Cup, how much would that mean for this team, especially against Brighton, who I feel this season has been sort of the dark horse spoiler, especially late this season, of every opponent they've come up against?
Yeah, look, Man City have had they've obviously smashed the WSL and deserve to be in the final as well. They've had the joy of not being in Champions League, so getting back into that competition was huge. For them to be at another final, it's massive for them to get their hands on silverware. But this is, people might look at Brighton and be like, okay, that's not a WSL top three. They haven't been in Champions League. But Brighton have had really good results against Arsenal and Man City in the past month. Fran Kirby is an individual that has reached those heights with Chelsea so many times, alongside Seke, an incredible striker that has scored brilliant goals for Brighton. By no means is this an easy game for Man City. I'll never forget 2019 playing for Man City at Wembley against West Ham. And West Ham had a really big opportunity early on. And I always think if that had gone in, the game could have gone differently. This feels the same. Brighton just need to take advantage of any chance they get and know that they can create with players like Frank Kirby, Stakey on the pitch. So it's Wembley. It's a 90-minute game. It's a cup final. Anything can happen. But it's two brilliant teams, so I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I can't wait. And everybody, you can catch the coverage on CBS Sports Network at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Hannah Cash is hosting alongside Crystal Dunn and yours truly. We will be there in studio chopping it up about the game and, of course, covering everything and answering all questions. And more big news, everybody. You're right. We are not done. More big news. Paramount Plus has just become the home for the Barclays Women's Super League. Starting this September, you'll be able to catch every single WSL game match on Paramount Plus, with matches airing also on Golazo Network and CBS Sports Network, and all your girls will be a part of the coverage. Jen, when we heard this announcement, how excited were you? Because I just have to give some color. You retired. CBS gets Champions League. You sign with CBS. CBS gets WSL. Like a dream. A dream for you, mate.
Dream. I love it. You dropped the mate in there at the end. guys, I can't even, it's so hard to put into words how excited I am. I think, you know, to be in the States, working for CBS, Champions League's been amazing. for them to get the rights to WSL, which is, you know, majority of my career was there. So many memories, some of my best mates still playing in the league. Obviously, I've been going back to do the FA Cup, and I'm just so excited to be covering amazing games, amazing clubs, big head-to-heads, just so competitive. I know we love the NW. I know the NWSL is so competitive as well. Anything can happen. But the way the WSL is going, look at, you know, Man United dropping out of the top three and not qualifying for Champions League. It's just getting better and better. And guys, if Alexia Putellas is in there, just...
That's what I was going to say. The links to players to some of these teams is incredible.
Right? We already cover most of them in Champions League. So being able to do the weekend games on a more regular basis, I'm just so happy that CBS is going to be throwing some production behind it. Let's go.
Laurie, who are you most excited to watch now with WSL being part of the CBS Sports coverage?
Yo, I mean, Buddy Shaw, we've already been talking about this. But also, I think, you know, when we think about owners and stuff, Michelle Kang, her ties to NWSL, CBS obviously puts a ton of production behind NWSL, all of it. And then just like that, I'm going to be curious about the collaboration between those two leagues too. I think, again, as we just continue to see the women's game grow, it's just incredible to be able to watch this league on a regular basis. Chelsea being one of them too. I mean, really any of these games I have watched for several seasons now, and it's just fun to see the differences, not good or bad, right? It's just the differences in the leagues, the matchups, the tactical battles. And especially when we think about the World Cup around the corner too, with all these players, majority of these players playing, right? To be able to have them on one network is freaking, I don't even care what team I'm watching. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah, you thought your days were busy watching football now. Wait.
Goodness, listen.
I know. I love this conversation, though, because I think the accessibility of being able to watch so many leagues is only going to help propel this game forward. And we're already seeing it explode. And just to show you how much CBS is putting behind women's sports coverage, it's the home. NWSL, Champions League, CONCACAF W Champions Cup, W Gold Cup, W Championship, CONCACAF W Nations League, Serie A Femminile, and UEFA Women's World Cup qualifiers. Like, everything is here.
It's amazing.
And not only, you know, what I love as well is that the amount of different access points, the different channels, it's attacking third, morning footy, Galazzo match day, scoreline. There's so many different ways to access all of those games. So no, I couldn't agree with you. There's epic leagues, amazing competitions. Home of soccer, everyone. Home of football.
The home for footy in the US. Make sure you tune in. Of course, we will all be a part of that coverage, plus a lot of our friends. Well, everybody, that was our first segment. I told you, we've got a meaty show. We are breaking down the US Women's National Team roster next. So stick with us after this quick break. Welcome back to Attacking Third, everyone. The official, presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. As promised, U.S. Women's National Team coach Emma Hayes dropped the roster for the friendlies in Brazil. And triple espresso is back, baby. The girlies are back. We had a single espresso, we went to a double, and now we're at full strength. Triple espresso is back on the roster. Now, this is Mal Swanson's first return to the national team since August 2024. If you remember, she scored the final goal against Brazil at the Olympics, sealing the deal for the U.S. to walk away with a gold medal. I think that this is just, it's like the perfect timing. And I feel like Emma Hayes is just so smart how she sort of brought everybody in, managed expectations of what players and their return to play is supposed to be, especially as new moms or dealing with injury. And I just feel like it's all coming together at the right time, especially with traveling to Brazil and getting acclimated in that way. How excited are you, Laurie, to see these three back together? And do you actually think we'll see all three of them on the pitch at the same time?
I think we will. Maybe not for an extended period of time, given everything that you just said in terms of working their way, managing minutes, just making sure, especially with the travel. But I do think we will. I think that Emma, just with her personality, her excitement about getting everybody back together, because I feel like one of the main points about her announcing this roster And the exclusion of Gurma, Coffey, who Macaria. Else is in it? Yeah, Macaria, thank you. Those three, and her just talking about, okay, we can never have like everybody, there's going to be injuries, but this feels like the closest team that we've had since outside of the Olympics when she first took over that we've had that's going to look very similar to potentially what will go to Brazil next summer. And I feel like she's now like, okay, we have no more time. Not that they've been wasting time by any means. It's like, actually, it's been a very wonderful trajectory, I feel like, in terms of how they progress in giving players exposure to the national team. But now I feel like you are starting to lock in what is the best group, what is potentially like kind of a free-flowing starting 11 going to look like. And so, yeah, I do think that we'll see them, maybe minimal minutes, but I'm pumped for these games.
Yeah, I'm seeing like a 10-minute overlap, some way that we'll get the triple espresso on the pitch together. I don't think it'll be like night. It's not going to be a half.
Get ready. I mean, in the Olympics, that was every defense was like, what? Who's coming at me right now? Like, let me just sit down on the pitch.
I feel like because Emma Hayes is so smart as well, she knows how much it would mean to like absolutely everyone see that, even if it is only a couple of minutes of crossover, it might happen. She said herself, it's important to get the best players together back on the pitch, back to that sort of chemistry as forwards together. Of course, like it's like second nature to those players when they're that level, and judging the way they've all come back, still such like high levels are achieved already. But I think we'll see them all together for sure. I hope so.
We all believe. But this is also another roster where there's no uncapped players. I mean, that was Emma Hayes' MO for a lot of the buildup into this summer. And I think we're finally starting to see a more defined roster, Lori, as you said, a much more fluid team where there is already chemistry built there, which I think is so important. Is I think the last couple of months we were all like, okay, so when is it getting serious? Who has, you know, the chemistry on the pitch together that is making sense and is ultimately effective no matter who they are going against? And I think that we're starting to see that. But there are positions still that have a lot of question marks, one of them being goalkeeper. Yeah. I thought it was PTJ for a long time, but our girl Claudia Dickey has full on, I think, brought her confidence to that position. But then Mandy McGlynn is also killing it with the Utah Royals and it's called back. Lori, who are you thinking has that spot, or is it still this camp is probably going to solidify who moves forward?
Yeah, I do think it's this this camp, but I completely agree. And we've talked about it on the show before, which is it did feel like the last group of games against Japan, it was Claudia Dickey that kind of maybe edged her way up. But I do think that that is what we're seeing, particularly in this position, and it's something that's been an ongoing conversation. I think with Emma's coaching staff too, it's like, who's going to really solidify themselves, have the personality that's like, okay, I am going to lead this team from the back. I want the number one. There's a personality aspect that I feel like Emma has talked about. Like, they want that person to be like, yep, I want this job. I want that responsibility. But I do feel like Claudia right now, but Mandy McGlynn, I mean, had been in before, right? And then there was just a dip in performance, especially last season when I think Utah in general is just kind of like sorting themselves out or continuing to sort themselves out. But she's been excellent. So it'll be interesting. I think this is a position though that we're going to see fight out for a little bit. And then it's just going to have to, as qualifiers come close, I think they're going to have to be like, yep, this is who we're going with. Right. And stick with it kind of, because I think it's been an ongoing conversation with the men's team on who's actually going to be the number one. And I feel in previous, right, not to get into the men's stuff, but that is a position that you kind of want to be like, yep, this is who we're going with, because it affects everything else, right? The communication on the back line. If by chance you have to make changes on the back line in terms of injury, then it's just a position that you want to know, hey, this is the goalkeeper's tendencies. This is what we expect from them. And it trickles forward to every other position as well.
Yeah. I think we're seeing a phase of where, okay, there's no uncapped players, but there's definitely still a few positions, goalkeeper, left back, that have still time, to put it as just as precise as that. There's still enough time to be giving minutes to different people to exactly what Laurie said, who's going to grab it, who's going to become the standout. Because I think it's class how competitive it is still to this point. It shows that how much quality is in the squad, is in the roster, that it's not an out and out goalkeeper that's taking it. So for me, there's still time, but you can definitely feel that the roster being narrowed down further and further the closer it gets, obviously, to next summer, which is natural. But on these positions purely, still time.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the left back position. Lily Real hasn't been playing for a club much since Guru Wrighton came in. She gets called into a national team camp. But then we've also seen Giselle Thompson do really well in that left back position, especially when she's playing alongside her sister in front of her. I mean, Avery Patterson is back, who I've said, I love her. I love the way she plays. I wish she got more of a chance at that left back position because that is the open spot. To me, that's where I'm like, I actually have no clue who has that position, Jen. Why do you think it's so hard for the U.S. to figure that spot out, really, since Crystal Dunn has stepped away from the national team?
I mean, to be honest, I think it's quite a... It's not a common theme in world football, but it sort of is because, obviously, the lack of left-footers. Obviously, it's way more common to have right-footers, so it's quite a niche position. You often see a lot of right-footed, left-sided centre-backs playing. I was definitely one of them. There's just less left-footed players. Lawyer laughing, I don't know.
I just remember in your TST days last, it was excellent. You're awesome. It's a smiles of joy and admiration.
Oh, brilliant. Good memes. I do feel for Lily Real, I will say. When you're not playing at club, it just makes it so, so difficult. But when you have someone like Wrighton who's come in and done really well, so I'm not sure what's going through her head at the minute. Obviously, still being called up is important, and hopefully that she's having the conversations with Emma Hayes specifically about, you know, how to still keep progressing in that if that selection does continue at club level. I'm for Giselle Thompson at the minute. I think she, especially at the start of season, was getting assists and working really well with the Ondsdotter at club level, and then put that to national team level, the connection that you must have with your sister must be insane. So, but still, it's up for grabs, and it's still going to be given more time, to, I think, to see who really grabs it and who can tactically shift based on the games coming up in certain games against different opposition. I think that's probably the biggest thing, especially from young outside backs in that position, who can really adapt based on the quality that you're up against. That, I think, will stand out to Emma Hayes more than anyone.
Well, then it's also a question of, is it Alyssa Thompson in front, or is it going to be Mal Swanson? Who is it going to be? Right. And who has the best chemistry with the outside back that's in that position?
Yeah.
I do that's think the one that's up in the air.
Yeah, I think the tactical shift is the most important question, because I can see that shifting, that position maybe shifting in different games, right? Depending on how they want to build, how they want to attack, because obviously we know Emily Fox on the right side, who's basically had that locked down. So, sorry, there seems to be some yard work happening. Dave.
I thought it was my laptop. I'm glad it wasn't me.
Dave, Heather Riley's husband's doing, like, I don't know, yard work. Anyway, yes, tactically, I think it's going to be an interesting aspect, because I think that's what they can most play with, right? If you look like you're playing with a three back, or and depending on if they want somebody that's going to stay home or get forward more often. So yeah, it'd be interesting.
The other question I have on the roster is Sam Coffey's returning back from a knee injury. Claire Hutton to me seems like the most natural slot in, but I actually feel like it's still open, because Laura, you mentioned the chemistry, the tactical, who brings what. Do you slot Lily Real in there, who's been phenomenal with Lyon in Champions League with Lindsay Heaps and Rose Lavelle? Or I wonder with Coffey and just that sixth position, I think that's a really unspoken about spot that I am still very unsure about. I don't know if either of you feel any type of way that, especially with Coffey out, even with Coffey in, actually, whose position that really is.
You mean Johannes, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Real, you.
I think it's Claire Hutton. I think that. No, Jen, let me hear from you. No, just kidding. I do think it's Claire Hutton. And in fact, I think Darren, I feel like you and I were talking about this on one of the shows, that I actually think when Sam Coffey and Claire Hutton are playing together, sometimes they have similar tendencies.
Yeah.
So they have the desire to go get on the ball. And so I think it's actually going to be interesting. I do think it's Claire Hutton. And then who does she decide to play around with Claire, right? Is it Lindsay Heaps and allow her to go forward more? Lily Johannes, Jaden Shaw. Like, I mean, there's so, I mean, goodness, the list we could just continue on with. But I think it's going to be the chemistry. And then are they looking to have a bit more to, I hate to say defensive, but like a little bit more to stay at home type players with Heaps and Hutton? Or do you go with, or like allow Heaps to go forward and Claire stays home and then you pair it with another attacking player? So I just really, again, I think it's kind of similar to the left back position on what are you looking for in that particular game? Are we going to be a bit more aggressive, or are we going to, because we're going to be aggressive in the outside back, then we need a little bit more solidification in the midfield. So yeah, it's like a wonderful problems to have. And also I feel like this is where a little bit more of the pressure, quote unquote, is going to happen, because you got to start to solidify some of those things in terms of what is the makeup going to look like without having to switch so much game to game.
Yeah, I agree. Well, when we look at some of the players that are missing, we mentioned Coffey, Gerba, Macario, all dealing with their own injuries. I don't know if I could say that they're snubs, if that's what we're talking about, but I can say that there are players that I think are doing really well in club form. Yasmin Ryan being one of them with Denver Summit. Yeah. I think she looks much more confident than she ever did when she was called into national team camps. Like, she has a force when she's on the ball and when she's around the pitch. I think she dictates play, and physically she looks so good right now. And technically she's just reading the game well. She has great chemistry with her team. And I think that's what's giving her that confidence to be the Yasmin Ryan that initially got called into camp. So that's a player that I'm like, if say that somebody got a knock or something, that's a player that I think is sort of on that real peripheral bubble with this U.S. Women's National Team that I could see calling in. But Lori, I don't know if you know anyone else or had a thought.
Yeah, I agree with the Yasmin Ryan. The thing that I always think about Yasmin Ryan is she, to me, has all the tools to play on the national team. She's smooth on the ball, like obviously an engine, the right pace, everything. And she looks like she can score goals every single game in the NWSL. I feel like for Yasmin Ryan, it's like score multiple goals every NWSL game, right? It's like a cutting edge should be like, yep, I am the go-to person. Because the tough part is, I think when we name all of these players, it's like, goodness, you're going up against Triple Espresso. Because Yasmin Ryan can play as a 10, she could play as a winger. So she has a versatility too. But I'll be curious to see if she gets called back in, because I agree with you. With Denver, she seems to be flying right now, loads more confidence, and just continues to have that more experience. The other one I would say is Sanchez. I mean, second in the Golden Boot race right now. But I even think Emma spoke about this, Emma Hayes, is that was a one that was like right on the edge of being called in. They ultimately went with Croy Bethune in the sense. Now, I don't know if the two of them were like, you know, they have them on the wall and it's like, who do we pick? But Croy Bethune as a number 10 in a position that they would be looking at, because Sanchez is playing in that wing position. But when you think like Giselle, you think of, oh my God, why can't I think of anybody's name all of a sudden?
Alyssa,
thank you. I was like, that's not Ashley. That's what I'm talking about.
There's a lot of names.
Alyssa Thompson, you have Trin, you have, like, listen, the Mal now, right? Jaden Shaw can play out there. So I think the thing that we're going to be talking about is the competition. Players have been called in, the competition, and Ashley Sanchez has had a phenomenal season, but that's who you're up against right now. And that's always just a tough one, right? It's just going to have to come down to the coaches, kind of like, where do we feel like pieces can fit in? What are they bringing? That's different than somebody else.
All I would say on that, though, if you are one of those players that's listed in that kind of competition, it's you never know what can happen between now and
no doubt
and a tournament.
Yep.
It's about staying in it with your club, trying to keep those performances up there, never knowing if coach changes their mind, if someone picks up a niggle, you just ready whenever something happens. So it's competition, that's international football. You're talking about US national team. Like if there's no competition, there'd be a big worry. And
yeah,
it's just like, okay.
I think of Al too, Allie Krieger in this, like was out of the national team lead into 2019 right. for so long. And we did not know why, right? And then I was like, you had the best road to this World Cup because you didn't play in any of the friendlies leading up. And then immediately it's like, yep, you're in. And then it was like freaking starting game. So what I'm saying is Al like stayed, just was a true professional, right? And stayed on top of her game. All these players, because there's going to be injuries, unfortunately. All
let me real quick. Al?
Yeah. So, can you come back in, actually?
Thank you. I've definitely heard that story a few times and does sound insane. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Prime example.
Spot on with that. Anything can happen. And I feel like there's always a little bit of, like, last minute, like, wild card call-up. So, stay ready.
I think even, you know, I don't know if there's too many surprises I see to this roster besides Riley Jackson. I think she's a player that maybe doesn't always have the flashiest stats, but to your both of your point, if you're consistent with the club and you show that you can play at a high level, you can stay fit, you're in shape, and you can seamlessly fit into whatever role the team needs you to be in, and you're going to up the level, whether it's just on training or a few minutes in a game, or hell, you need to start a match. That is also emblematic of these bubble players that, hey, anything can happen. You're going to be needed when we're making a roster, because you're right, Jen. Injuries can happen, whatever. Life is crazy. Everybody needs to stay ready. And that's what separates the really good players to the players that go and play in a World Cup in Brazil. Well, we can't wait to break those games down. Make sure you tune into Attacking Third after all of those, because we will be covering them. But of course, we have more. We have NWSL Match Week 10 we are going to talk about after this quick one. Stick with us. Hey friends, welcome back into Attacking Third, presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. It's Match Week 10. It is Match Week 10, the last match week before the summer break for a lot of these teams, which I think many are excited to have. But we have the first match of the week, which is first place Utah Royals against Portland Thorns at Portland and Providence Park. And I don't think I would have thought that Utah Royals were going to be number one going into this break. They're on a 9-game unbeaten streak. They're playing beautiful football. It's the most strong midfield, I think, in the NWSL as far as consistency comes and breaking apart play. They just came off of beating Denver 2-1. And Portland Thorns are coming off kind of a spanking from Kansas City Current, losing to them, but Sophia Wilson got a goal. How big of a test is this for Portland to beat the Utah Royals, Lori?
Yeah. Well, I actually still think it's going to be a test for the Utah Royals to go to Providence Park, just with the team that Portland still has. I mean, there's a reason why they're number two as well. But I think Providence Park is so difficult to play in. And I only say that because there is like a winning mentality, winning culture, right? And so with Utah, like, hats off to them. This has been an exceptional season. And we saw glimpses of this the last 2 years, just at the tail end when they were just chasing and then couldn't collect enough points, right? It was, too much up and down. But I love this. We spoke to Kate Delfava not too long ago, and just the excitement of, you know, just love the players that have been there for this Utah team from the start, and should be rewarded for their consistency in terms of hard work. But I think it's a test for them, because obviously to go to places like Providence Park that are difficult to play to get a win, I think that really solidifies, like, yep, this is it, right? We are here. We're not just.
Oh no. Is it
never know if it's mine or Laura's? Yeah.
Am I back?
Were you frozen in it, but I tried to stay still like it was me in case it was me.
No, yeah, it's definitely me. And I was hitting all the good points. No, I'm just joking. I was just saying, Providence Park is a difficult place to play, right? And I think there's some moments in seasons where you really get to say, like, yep, we're not to negate the 9-game win streak. Like or unbeaten streak. That's amazing. But I think with the history of playing at Providence Park, the quality that this Portland team has, and what I would say about that game last weekend against Kansas City for Portland, third game in a week, you could tell that their game plan was to sit back, try to counter against against Kansas City. And I think they're going to be much more front-footed. I think they're going to be much more aggressive. So it's going to be a tall task with that. But I do think when you talk about their midfield, Darian, that's where they could thrive, particularly Tanaka, because to me, one of the, you know, if there's a susceptible area against Portland, it's that gap between the midfield and the back line. And give Tanaka some time, she'll go after it. So
don't give her time. Just let her do one touch.
No, actually, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I think Moultrie will be back. She gained some minutes. She knows she's dealing with the last couple of games. So that's a huge boost for them and Sophia Wilson to be able to, those two linking up. So, yeah, I think one, Portland bouncing back, but in front of their home fans, huge boost. And then Utah away from home. Like, can you get this win in like one of the best environments in the BSL?
And if they do, I love that comment just there. If they do, huge contenders. But it's totally. So true. If they press the way that they've been pressing this season so far at Providence Park up against Portland, fair play. Because if that press gets broken once and you got Portland going up the other end and you hear that crowd roar, I think mentality sometimes can really feel that. That feeling away from home is always so much harder, especially against an atmosphere like it is at Portland. So I love the amount of clean sheets they've been happening, though. So if they stay defensively strong with Moultrie back in it, they stand a real chance. But 9-game unbeaten streak is truly something to be so proud of. And going at Providence Park, amazing.
Yeah, I actually think this is the perfect test for both of these teams before the break.
Yeah.
Because say you lose, it's not end of the world, but it's the big lesson you need going into, okay, points truly, truly matter. You cannot drop points after this break. This is what 100% going to affect you winning a shield, making playoffs. And I love that we get this matchup right before. Another big matchup of the weekend, Angel City sitting pretty at 11th and North Carolina Courage in 7th place. Now, LA started really strong this year. Svendis Jan's daughter was hyperextending her legs and scoring goals and assisting herself on throw-ins. But they only have one win in their last 7, and they're coming off of a loss to Houston, which I think says a lot about how this team is not clicking against any competition right now. So, Lori, what needs to happen for them to show up against the Courage at home, which is great for Angel City, but Courage, who has found their stride this season with an Ashley Sanchez also thriving with 7 goals?
Yeah, and Menaka, and I think just solidifying things defensively, right? Just making sure they're really tight defensively, and not conceding unnecessary goals. But like, listen, it's tough because they obviously went off on a good start, 3-0, and then lost to Orlando before the first international break, and then it's kind of been downhill from there. But I think the thing that we know about this league is there are fine margins. So one win can start to turn things around. I think it's going to be, it's more emotional though at this point in time than really specific things. Yes, you can always change some things on the field for sure. But I think for Angel City, just given their kind of like general movement since being in existence, this game is going to be so important about like, emotionally, who cares if we only have one win in the last 7 games? We are a solid team. This is the most complete team that we've had. And just be saying we're not going anywhere without at least some sort of result, right? Because that's where it feels like they are right now. Just some mistakes that are unnecessary, conceding some goals. Yes, then I was just going to say like Noose gets a penalty kick, right? But then they concede again. And so it's just like some areas where it's just like emotionally and mentally, they just need to be locked in and like go into this break, much like we're talking about with Utah and Portland, and just say, okay, this is such a test and we need to collect points at this point in time to go in and to ride this next like break with some confidence. So to me, North Carolina is going to be a different test than their Houston team. Houston obviously got the result against San Diego the game before, so they had a load of confidence. So you're dealing with a team that's going to have a lot more possession. So maybe there's this Angel City team that can hit it on counter, right? But absorb the pressure, stay close to this unit. Don't get yourself conceding unnecessary goals or mistakes, and know that you can beat really any team. Just show it.
I like that. That's a really good team talk, Lori.
Okay, thanks. No, in there. Alex Strauss, listen, you need me to be on the Zoom. Here we go.
I was like this.
I was locked in that entire time. I was like,
yeah. I've not been on Angel City.
That's why she's TSD GM. See what you saw there?
You have a
pure experience.
She's a natural. All right. Well, let's do a little quick around the grounds, because big news coming out of Chicago Stars. They have fired general manager Richard Foyce. Where do they go from here? When I look at them firing him, well, hold on. Let's take a comment from their president, Karen Lietzow. What we now hope is that in a league like this, to be competitive, you want to be in a playoff contention all the time, but at the very least, you need to have a compelling product on the pitch. I don't think we have either this year. And this is not for lack of trying. That's why we are disappointed with the outcome, and we decided to make the change that we made today, which yesterday. Interesting and very, very telling. I'll say even coming into season, the changes that Chicago made, I was a little confused by. Letting go of Ludmila, who was leading goals, doing backflips, getting a hattie late in the game, coming on as a sub, truly leading this team in the absence of Mal Swanson, and we were all excited to see her play with Mal Swanson once she returned from maternity leave, they let her go. Bring in a completely different profile in Jordan Heidema, who, the way that Chicago plays, I don't think actually serves her skill set that well. And I don't know if Chicago did enough to be contenders, and we're seeing them struggle with that, with the consistency. But Lori, I don't know if you feel any different about that. I think they agree. They were hoping for more, and it hasn't happened. But also, it's a strange time of, okay, so you're just going to try to use the summer to try to get the players you need.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, right? Like, if you're going to make some sort of change, now seems the time, in the sense that, like, you're going into this break. We're seeing that on the men's side with some coaches and stuff in Major League Soccer because of this, like, long break as well. But yeah, no, I completely agree with what is being said. I mean, I had them as like we did split up like previews at the beginning of the season, and I had Chicago. And my biggest question was, well, one, I should say, they have a lot of wonderful individual talent. I think the biggest thing is, and you and I were talking about this prior too, is that the cohesion, and do all those individuals actually fit together in terms of pieces and identity? So that's the biggest question, is just like, okay, what is their team, right? What do they want to look like? How do they want to play? I think that has always been a little bit of a question mark. But then also the biggest thing for me was, all right, you decide you're going to not have Ludmila. She's going to San Diego. You get all this money. What are you doing with that money? Are you getting like two players that are going to be world beaters to replace Ludmila? What are you doing, right? And there was just like radio silence. And so, and to your point, Heidema and Ludmila, they're not even the same player at all. And also Ludmila just came off of a 15 goal season. Heidema hasn't produced that in this league. Can she? Yeah. I think with her skill set, she can, but we haven't seen that. Right. So
she needs more surrounding cast around her.
Right. She needs service. She's not going to be the player that's taking this team on her shoulders and saying, here we go. Right. Ludmila did that. And I also think one thing that needs to be said too is there has been quite a few, we've seen like four different coaches in a year span. And with Ella Mazur taking over late last season, that seemed to be their highest point. And now there's been a lot of different messages for these players as well. I think it's really challenging. So if you're going to make the change, yes, it makes sense to me now. But I think you still have to have like a situation where it's like, and maybe this is happening behind the scenes, we just haven't heard it. What is happening with the identity? What are they trying to do?
Yeah. I think identity is the most important word you said there. I think every club can come out and say, yes, we want to be a playoff team consistently. We want to be winning, but it's, how do you do that? What is the strategy behind the scenes? And I don't think that doesn't come down to one person. I think budget also comes into that. You talked about players leaving and big players at that. How do you replace them? But what is the style? What is the identity? And I think it's a much broader piece when it comes to Chicago. It's not just about signing one, two players. It's about, there's so many things that I think a longer term plan maybe needs to be looked at when it comes to this club, because it's been, you know, disappointing for fans for a large period of time now. And it's okay, yeah, you can say I want to be in the playoffs, that's where this team should be, but what is the strategy? What are the players buying into when they come to Chicago? What's the setup? What's all the behind the scenes like? So that is what I'm interested at to see progress over time with this change.
Yeah, you don't blame the players at all. In fact, I feel for the players of Chicago, yeah, because it feels so beyond them, and they're just really doing their best to stay afloat. But Jen, I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I like when you look at this group, there's some, like, the individuals, it's like very quality. And so it's just like, okay, again, what's the identity? How do you get them all operating on the same page?
Yeah. And what the hell is your strategy behind the scenes? Because we've never heard it. It doesn't seem like anyone else really knows what's going on. So hopefully with this change and players they bring in, the new GM that they ultimately are going to hire, really make those changes and we see them get some positivity and some points, because their next match is against San Diego before the summer break. And it could be a big statement and I think a big boost for this team that needs it. Well, everybody, that was our show. We talked WSL, we talked Europe, Alexi Putellas, Bunny Shaw. The WSL is coming to CBS, baby. We've got that coverage. And of course, Attacking Third will be back this Sunday night at 9 p.m. right after the Angel City and North Carolina match to give you our reaction and analysis. And of course, the team of the week. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We had a really great show. Make sure you tell everybody to listen to the pod and jump in and let us know what's going on. From Phil, Audrey, Jen, and Lori, I'm Darian, and this is Attacking Third. Podcast.